Doctor Who, Darkness Falls, written by Witold Tietzek, Part 3. Thus the story of my 8th regeneration finds its close. But what of my first adventure as this new man? Patience shall shortly reward the listener with satisfaction. We set our scene in a city park.
What politics, pray?
Naturally, those of the borough.
Finding a footy in university union politics is one thing, and I'm assured that the experience was of benefit insofar as it must over those years have taught you leadership skills, etc. But this, my dearest Floyd, is perhaps taking things too far.
Here we must disagree, Rebecca.
This comment I find less than comforting. Why a disagreement?
Floyd has found a niche into which she may fall with some degree of success. It is even perhaps his destiny.
Apposite words, love.
I thank you, dear Neil.
She may be right, my sweet.
Whose side are you on?
I thank you, Jasmine and company, for your support. And Rebecca, your scepticism is understandable and indeed welcome. We all need sobering agents.
But one can scarcely complain about intoxicants, you must all admit.
A teacher and an alcoholic. A caustic mix.
I refer to the intoxication of infatuation, as you well know. Wherein does your appeal lie? For it is clearly not a simple matter of your comedic talents, as that remark ably displays.
I have never been loved for comedy's sake, as you ably display.
Nevertheless, here you are. No, here we are.
Ample proof if ever it were needed.
It is not needed when we are apart. I am apart, only. Completeness comes only with you. Find no more proof than that.
In truth, this love is shared, which is why I regret departure. But I must nevertheless away. Work beckons.
Until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow. Our thoughts and hearts as one. Farewell all.
Your love for each other is indeed strong. Would it were that circumstances drew you apart, how would your reaction fall?
A challenging query indeed. I cannot truly say until such occasion arises, although I pray against it with all hope.
Or hypothetically then?
Hypothetically, I would be crushed, unless an even greater love presented itself. But what necessity might bring this about?
I know not. I only conjecture.
If the preservation of life saw the restoration of love as its outcome, I would accede, albeit grudgingly.
But what relation has this to my plight, you ask? Patience will provide closure to your query, as my promise was laid down at the first. We are all players, and the first has already found the stage. Maestro, lay on!
That man? You joke, surely. He's disaster incarnate. My expression is one of absolute truth. What advantage would I gain by exaggerating? My heartfelt impression remains, and always shall, that the fellow is a cad of the first order. You haven't! Has madness struck your soul? Might I advise against it, with all my ability, with all my influence as your close friend? I very much doubt that. As your friend, I see it as my solemn and sworn duty to keep vigil over your best interests. In order that I might achieve such a task with any degree of success, I must do so with rational forethought. So, no, I am not jumping the gun. I am simply looking out for you, and I do believe my services have been more than required on this occasion. Something is afoot in my kitchen. I fear it may again be Ashley. The man knows not when to cease his parlour pranks. And promise me silence on the matter of that prudish pig you find so appealing. A single move without my advice may yield disaster. Take care. My thoughts of friendship remain with you. Goodbye. Tall, blue, a sure sign of disaster. A police box now, is it, Ashley? And where lies the responsible party? What nook have you chosen for your hiding place? It must be near. Your blue package arrived only now. You and your associates, those without whose help you surely would not have managed to drag this monstrosity into my abode, must be near. But from which vantage point are you presently snaring? Ashley? Never have I encountered such a strange circumstance, I swear it. Free for use of public. A telephone conversation is your desire? Is that what you seek of me, Ashley? You needed only say so. Hello? Who is it I had the misfortune to join in speech? Your stubbornness wears, Ashley. I demand closure in this matter, now.
Are you humanoid?
Are you sane? I see less value in this accent you have chosen to adopt than I do in your childishness in general, Ashley.
You will serve as well as any other.
Where, I wonder, do we set our scene? Earth, as I felt sure. And in time for the millennial revels? Ah, with time to spare. Only 80 years have passed since the turn of 1900. So, what think you? I ask only for a reply, my fine ship. What think you of my new attire? Come now, you spoke not 2 hours hence. Alone once more, I see. Your sentient existence was, it is true, an element of great comfort in my recent time of need, but it will, now redundant, be missed. Time, then, to begin the grand search. The master must be found and stopped, and no further time should be lost. Oh, I do beg your pardon.
You are not Ashley.
Upon last inspection, I gathered not. Then again, who on this earth might be judged expert in determining a fellow's identity?
I find your conversation unexpectedly philosophical.
With good reason. My life is presently stepping from something of an identity crisis.
How terrible for you. Now just, who are you? Or know you not?
No, of course I know. I am the doctor.
As distinct from any number of other doctors?
Naturally.
Then truly you have no sense of your identity. The doctor? Job descriptions do not count where naming is desired.
It serves. Here and there.
Oh? Where, pray?
Places. Elsewhere.
Your name, if you please.
Already have I conveyed it.
Your attempt was pathetic, to say the least.
My attempt was truthful. That is my name.
Then I concede to your greater perseverance. But do please tell me one thing. What exactly are you and this thing doing in the heart of my abode?
Growing impatient and sitting quietly, in the order you presented.
You are in a hurry?
Alas, yes.
Then you may find yourself most disappointed. Before your departure, I will draw from you the names of those who put you up to this preposterous stunt. Now I also see you remove this monstrosity from my flat. Only then will I see you leave.
Most insistent, aren't you?
Sure you would do the same were you in my situation.
No. Instead, I would be most curious about this fellow. I would ask to understand his peculiar mannerisms, his unusual ramblings, or as you seem keen to be rid of me.
Anything you have to say to me on the matter of your blue contraption is unlikely to be news to my ears.
I am from another planet.
Quite.
I am, truly.
And yet you have no proof of the claim, yes?
As it happens, I do, but it may shock you to see it.
The asylum awaits.
Please, step within.
Your box?
TARDIS.
A literal translation, or is box represented by some other word from where you hail?
Please, do step within. I am seldom insistent, but this proof may yet be enough to keep you from holding me from my agenda further.
As you insist. Tell me, what did I just walk into?
The TARDIS.
As you said.
As I said. It is my ship, and further, it is my home.
Never mind your fate. It is I who must seek the care of a sanatorium for the mind.
Believe me, you do not. The craft is perfectly real, as am I. Well, with introductions now behind us.
They are not. Chloe Richards. Two names, two syllables in each, no doctorates.
I find myself pleased to meet you.
And you, probably.
Before proceeding further, Chloe, I must ask of you a question.
You have my ear.
Have you observed anything at all suspicious since my arrival?
Besides the box?
TARDIS?
So you continually remind me.
Besides the TARDIS.
Nothing have I seen that aroused my suspicions, your TARDIS aside.
Nothing at all?
Your telephone is faulty, if that warrants discussion.
It might if I knew the subject of your concern with certainty.
Your telephonic device, it proclaims liberal use by passing citizens. Thus, I took it upon myself to test its serviceability. Alas, it failed to function.
It never has functioned.
What purpose does it then serve?
Beyond aesthetic completeness, none.
You are a very strange person, Doctor, I must confess.
Of this I am entirely aware.
Never does the thought plague you?
Never. I simply carry on reminding myself how much more strange the remainder of the universe is.
Seen much of it, have you?
On something of a daily basis.
Which is what brings you here?
You could say that.
I did say that, Doctor.
So you did. So, nothing odd? No electrical arcing, no gooey snakes, no American immigrants of an evil disposition.
Negative on every account.
So glad to hear it. Good day.
One moment, if it pleases you. Your period here is not yet spent.
But I must away, and with some urgency. If you saw no puzzling phenomena, then my nemesis has gained time over me. I must dash if I am to have success in diminishing the divide between us.
And your plan was to simply leave your, forgive me, TARDIS?
Correct.
In my kitchen?
I do hope the inconvenience is of a minimum. I shan't be too long if I can help it.
As it happens, the inconvenience will likely be enormous.
Oh dear. I have in my time discovered that currency has the uncanny knack of reducing inconvenience on a number of levels.
You choose to bribe me?
I prefer to think of it as rent.
An alien has a wish to offer me rent in exchange for storage space for his blue spaceship?
It happens all the time, that I can assure you.
Does it?
It is a big universe.
I'm certain it is, but my kitchen remains only a small part of it, and I have doubts that it would feel terribly comfortable having to accommodate a large piece of alien technology.
Its external size is quite manageable.
The ship is taller than we two, and is at least 3 feet squared.
In approximation.
And that is, in your estimation, small?
It is, as I said, a big universe.
Yes, you did say, but I am keen to see it gone. Or else, by my hide, I shall have to venture out by your side.
What could possibly have swayed you towards this decision?
In doing so, I shall have peace of mind regarding your otherwise uncertain return.
Where I go, events may conspire against our safety.
As yet, I have no complaint.
Then pay mind to that which I am about to impart unto you.
You have my assurance in that.
I seek a rival. His keenest skill is one of bodily habitation. That is to say, without a home for his thoughts, he squats in the corporeal dwellings of others. He does this without thought or regard for those victims of his machinations. And it is this ability which is the most useful to him, and the most unfortunate to those who might bring him to justice.
If he can lock himself in another's mind, then what we seek is the key.
That we do. That we do.
Know you the shape of its grooves and notches?
As little as I know the shape of things to come for we too. However, one approach draws my attention towards its merit above others. If this world is his stage, then I know the location of its varied trapdoors.
He has traversed these parts?
And does so again.
Then we seek his old haunts, as it were.
Precisely my thoughts.
What more need I know of this fiendish nemesis?
He kills without compunction. His evil is beyond calculation. Thus, success must not be his.
I will take care to remember these words. Has he a name?
Like mine, you will find it objectionable. His common identification is Master.
As well as evil, he is conceited.
With regret, it is true. But his conceit could be the second arena of our advantage.
You feed me with hope, yet I await a third arena still.
In my heart, so do I. Let us with best fortune proceed.
I follow you.
The end has found us.
This is the last location.
The very last.
Then our fiend must lie here. Or by some small compensation, a clue of sorts, some proof that he once was here.
Oh, I hold little hope in our success. This site is the least likely of all in which he might find sanctuary.
Pray explain.
Once housed here were allies in my cause against the Master. Known as Unit, they brought military aid against his machinations.
Then here he must surely be.
How is it that you have so assuredly reached this conclusion?
It comes from two distinct angles. First, the place must have been abandoned for some time, thus eliminating any element of risk on the Master's part by being here.
And second?
By your own admission. This is the last place you're expecting him to be.
Your deductions are sound, and I am glad to have your counsel.
Anything to expedite our investigation, Doctor. Shall we look around? Might I ask for more specific detail as pertaining to the subject of our search?
As the Master is presently without form, our hunt must extend only to evidence of his past presence. Perhaps even his ship, if fortune shines upon us.
Will this ship do?
Come again?
I have this moment set my eyes upon a TARDIS.
Dame Fortuna, I thank you.
Are they all identical in aspect?
Identical? I follow not. I see now the meaning behind your concern.
In appearance, his ship differs from yours, not at all.
How perplexing. Many a year has passed since this last transpired. Which year did you make claim that we are presently in?
I did not. For your information, it is the 98th year of the century.
1999?
98?
Ah, the millennial debate. I will delve no further for the sake of brevity. Suffice it to say, it is not 1981, so the Master's ship has no reason to sit in state holding his visage.
Nevertheless, it lies before us in plain view.
That it does. Shall we inspect it within?
By which means might you wish to access its interior?
I shall ascertain a method. Fear not in that.
How is it that the Master has resided so long in your TARDIS? Would he not have made his way towards his own?
Clearly his choice was to bide his time. The Master has, for a time, prided himself on being the possessor of two TARDISes, one of which he used to transport himself to the place of his death.
You have me at a loss.
As I explained to you when my nemesis first entered our discussion, the cad is beyond death. Clearly he has returned here to the place at which he left his second ship to wait for his safe arrival. With it, he is guaranteed safe passage to anywhere and anywhen in the cosmos.
Without a form?
By this time, I feel certain he has found some poor soul from whom to steal a body. You see, corpses are no good.
How is your progress, Doctor?
Poor. Perhaps I shall give up while the trouble has still been minimal.
But your reasoning is sound.
Chloe, are you not well?
I grow tired of this prattle. I pride you on your pathetic ranting, Doctor. So painful are they to my ears that I have forced myself to surface prematurely. However, now that I have done so, I feel an enormous sense of relief.
I'm afraid I do not follow. To what do you refer, Chloe?
I am Chloe no longer, nor was I ever.
Ah, she was the nearest and most convenient victim.
Of course.
Welcome back to the land of the living, Master. Well, almost.
I thank you, but you and I shall not be sharing it for long. Sleep well, my dear Doctor, for soon I shall deliver you unto the Daleks as you did me so long ago. Then, and only then, will you understand the mercy and compassion they do not possess.
Doctor Who, Darkness Falls, written by Vitold Tietzel, Part 3, Second Home, starring Matthew Kapelke as the Doctor, Lorna Hill as Chloe Richards, David Hutchinson as the Master, Kane Major as Neil, Jacob Aldridge as Floyd, Wendy Musgrove as Rebecca, and Susanna Tiller as Jasmine. Production, recording arranged by Matthew Kapelke, title music by Ron Grainer, arranged by John Sponsler and John Debney, incidental music by Robert Warnock, editing and special sound by Matthew Kapelke, produced by Matthew Kapelke, directed by Vitold Tietzel. Copyright 2000, Back to Reality Production. No attempt has been made to supersede or infringe any other existing copyright in relation to Doctor Who, which remains property of the British Broadcasting Corporation.